Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Adventures in Design. On today's show, I have my good friend Anderson Blue, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure if today's episode is a podcast or a really great conversation, but Anderson helps guide me on TikTok, and I, in return, help guide him on teaching in YouTube. So if you have any interest in social media and how people that have taken a lot of time to really study social media, pick their platforms and start to see a decent amount of growth. I mean, Anderson is well on his way to a million followers over on TikTok, and I'm working and chipping away over on YouTube, getting close to 10,000 subscribers, which I know that may seem like a small number as far as numbers go in the world of social media, but YouTube is very, very hard to build at. And from what I hear, once you get to 10, things start to change a little bit in many different ways. It's a conversation, not necessarily an episode, but one I hope that you enjoy listening to. It's Anderson Blue back on Adventures in Design. Anderson Blue, welcome back home to Adventures in Design. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How you been? Long time no talk.
It's been a minute. Last time we talked was when the G.I. Joe collab dropped for Foot Locker, right?
So we actually talked a little bit during the pandemic. I know it's been so crazy that you might not remember because so much went on, but yeah, we actually snuck a conversation in there.
Well, the one we did during the pandemic was a group setting, right?
So we actually did a one-on-one. Unless I'm losing my mind, that's very possible.
I mean, I don't know, man. That moment was a blur. That moment was a blur for me because I remember talking to a lot of different COT people about a lot of different things. No, you know what? We did do a solo episode. You reminded me right now when the shit was getting real cray-cray. Yes, yes.
At the very, very, very beginning.
Yes, like right when you felt like, so this is when society unravels. We made it to the end of modern civilization together.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy because I was thinking back last time we talked and so much has happened just from society standpoint.
Oh, my God.
What's going on in the government, just what's going on in society and stuff like that. And it's crazy what a year could bring.
Well, it's really crazy what I think we all learn from that. Management does matter. In the fact that a good manager, you don't notice. And a good creative director, you don't notice. Mm-hmm. It's the horrible ones that you notice. And when Donnie was steering the ship, and hear me out, you know, aggressive liberal guy listening to the show, not all of Trump's policies were bad. Not all of his moves were bad. But he was always a bad dude. So you couldn't tell if anything was good or was sustainable because he always was an asshole, even when he was doing something that, you know, if any other Republican president you did it, be like, well, he's a conservative. That's par for the course. But he did everything with such piss and vinegar. And that is what was ripping society apart by the threads, by the fabric that keeps us all together, is because he was literally trying to pin everyone against each other because he saw his strength in that friction. And last time you and I talked, the friction was going so hard, it was getting ready to turn into fire.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that was wild.
It was a crazy time. It's like Thanos giving good advice. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
nobody's really going to even entertain it. We're like, nah, we see where this is going.
Like Thanos's idea of reducing the population and reducing the resources, it's not a bad idea. In a way, Thanos' concept was, how could we make everything run smoother? But the downside was that half of the people would just have to disappear, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, a broken clock can be right twice a day. But yeah, man, when you and I talked, it was so contentious. And then I know that through YouTube, you and I talked, and I was building my audience over on YouTube, and it was like, July, there was friction. August, there was more friction. September, it was insane. October, you felt like you were fighting everybody. And then all of a sudden in November, it was like the friction just went away. And I know that January was a little bit weird in the country, but then it was like when Biden came in, it was just like life went back to normal. And did you see what he tweeted today?
No.
Me neither. And I fucking love it. And I don't want to know what he tweeted today, right?
I hear you. I get it.
So it was like, it's just so wild that since February, and dude, you and I right now we're in the back half of June. So it hasn't been that many months that life has just rapidly, and I mean, at a complete, like 100 miles an hour, my life is back to the point where I'm like, are we sure this pandemic thing's over with? Because it was so bad for so long, you start to get conditioned. I'm like, will I ever get my life back? And all of a sudden, boom, it fell right in my fucking lap.
I said literally the same thing to my fiance because we went out to eat and like we walked around with no mask. We're sitting at the restaurant. The weather is nice. I'm seeing people smiling, everybody having a good time. I'm just like, oh my God, this is what I did every summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like I forgot how to function. You know what I mean? So like, it's just good to see us moving back in the right direction.
So for you over the last year, I know that you really focused on with your free time and with Blue Dreams. I know that you've been focusing a lot on TikTok as the medium. And I know that in the beginning on TikTok, you were able to get easily out into like what? Last year when I talked to you, you were over 200,000 followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at today?
Past 800,000.
Fuck. So I want to get your, I want to get your read on this. I think, and I've been flirting this out on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking bored with Instagram? Because I'm fucking bored with Instagram. Like Instagram is the sweat on my ball sack.
I tell anybody, if you already have a following on Instagram, definitely do that.
Yeah.
But if you're coming in like cold turkey, it's a waste of your time.
It's a complete waste of time.
Unless you get popping on something else, like on a Twitch 100%. Or on YouTube,
100%,
and then it comes over, that's totally fine.
But that's the whole, like, it takes money to make money, right? Like once you start making money, everybody gives you everything for free, which is like, well, I made all this money. Why is everything free now? But that's how society works.
Right. And it's so fun. In fact, I have beef with you, by the way, because I heard the episode you're talking bad about TikTok, you know? So I know I might sound crazy because I know it's a Chinese company. And every time I talk kind about TikTok, everybody says, like, what's going on? You're getting paid by the Chinese. But no, honestly, anybody that's really trying to make a name for themselves right now, especially if you're frustrated with Instagram, I'm telling you, go over to TikTok.
See, that's exactly what I was going to agree with you on, is that I think the smartest thing TikTok did, and part of its popularity, is they actually made a platform that you can grow on.
Yeah.
And you've put a lot of time into it. You learned it. Like what Anderson did, which is really, really bright, is you consumed, this is how I see what you did. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You consumed TikTok. And so you learn how it worked. You learn what people were doing over there was successful. You didn't go in there and be like, whoa, there's a new sheriff in town. You understood how TikTok worked. And then you took your talents and said, how do my talents fit into this template? And then boom, you were off to the races.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It was definitely uncomfortable the first time because as soon as you open the app, you see like a 30-year-old dancing to like Meg the Stallion. So like at first, I was just like, I'm not sure about this, but I'll give it a shot. So what I try to do is I just go into like iTunes or to the App Store and I just look at the top 10 free apps. If it's on the top 10 free apps, I got to figure out what it is. If it's a social media, so it was there for a while. I've been hearing a lot of talking about it. When in 2019, I shot a video, I was in Japan. It was like a simple video, just making fun of how tall I was compared to everybody else there. And literally in like 3 hours, it hit like 1 million views. I was just like, all right, there's something to this for me to figure this out. There's something going on here.
And see,
and then that's what I did.
That goes with my theory though, where for a young account on Instagram, to randomly get one post to go to 3 million views, it's just not going to happen, man. They got the deck stacked against you. But what I think TikTok has done very correctly is they know that the dopamine drug of social media is it's working. It's happening. Mm-hmm. And so when they gave you that little teaser of 3 million, you said, because, dude, you tried really, really hard with YouTube. And like me, you found YouTube is the hardest platform to build an audience on. And so you tried hard on Instagram and you were doing good, but you know, mm-hmm. nobody really kills it at Instagram unless, like you said, you're already in a big band. You're already a famous artist. You know, mm-hmm. PewDiePie over on YouTube can fucking put anything on Instagram and he's going to get a million likes, but he's got 110 million people on YouTube that he's funneling over there. So you can't even yep. use him as a case study. But TikTok made it to where if you understand how the platform works, if you play inside of those rules and start yep. telling your story and your talents, you can break it and you can break through. And that's what happened for you.
And that was the first time I've ever like actually like, you know, played within the rules, yep. like doing all my videos horizontal, I guess vertical or whatever.
Vertical, yeah.
And, you know, creating content for people on there rather than saying like, you know, this is my artwork. You know, I heard, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll show people how to draw some of my favorite cartoons, whatever. I'll see how it'll go. And then what happened was TikTok reached out. It was like, hey, we're doing this new program called like Learn on TikTok. If you want to be a part of it, you know, nice. Come on down. So I'm going to be honest with you. The last thing I need to do is more work. So I was like, you know what? I'll try it out. Maybe I'll become friendly with some of the people over there. And then that was literally the best decision I made because, you know, I got to understand how the social media worked. I got a heads up of what was going on, and this thing just grew from there.
So work me through this.
Yep.
At 800,000 followers over on TikTok, mm-hmm. what is that worth? Are you making any direct money off of TikTok? Are you seeing TikTok people come over to your web store? Like, you have this thing, you have a tremendous mm-hmm. audience. And as I always say on the show, where there's an audience, there's an opportunity. Opportunity always follows audience. What has this opportunity yielded you?
It's crazy how fast I've seen like the change happen, right? So like, you know, even people listening, like we've all been doing art for a while. You've been doing art. I know you're retired.
Thank you.
But like,
thank you for acknowledging my retirement.
But like, as we do these things, sometimes you feel like you don't work with some of the bigger brands. Like right. we all use Adobe, right?
Right.
It is not many of us are lucky enough to actually work with them.
Sure.
Right. So by accumulating this big following, bigger brands reached out like immediately. So like early in the year, I did my first live stream with Adobe. Instead of going to like the Adobe Max or whatever, I started having people stream on YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much in a nutshell, just more opportunities start coming your way. And another big thing started coming my way is just more like marketing opportunities, like stuff that I never would do. You know, like the last one I did was I worked with Paramount for G.I. Joe to help promote their movie.
Snake Eyes? Know?
Yeah, Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's trying to figure out how to use TikTok, how to use influencing to try to market their brand. But what that did was it literally opened another branch for my business to where I haven't told anybody this, so you could be the first person to hear this, to where
Hold on.
Now
we have an Anderson Blue exclusive on AID. Go ahead, Anderson. Breaking news from Long Island.
This year, I plan to take a step back because, you know, I've been doing the tax business that I've taken over from my dad.
And yeah, your father's like business.
That's still running.
Yeah, your father's business that you inherited. You do taxes for people. Like, you're a CPA, correct?
Not a CPA, but I do taxes. Okay. I have other CPAs that work underneath me.
Okay.
But the moral of the story is it's now to the point where I have to redo the business plan to where I can't be there every day.
Ooh.
Because it's time to start focusing on like the Blue Dreams creative agency.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, What do I always say? When you feel like going to work, you're going to lose money. You have graduated into doing your own thing. So are you telling me that you're going to restructure the family business mm-hmm. so that you have an office manager, people are running it, you'll kind of oversee it in a part-time type role? Obviously, it's a family business. You don't want to get rid of it because it's making money and it's been around for a long time. But you mm-hmm. don't need to be there doing day to day. You could just literally be doing like overview of the forecasting where it's going.
Yeah, it was literally I was in the office and I'm catching myself. I'm just like, I'm not happy. I'm miserable because I'm juggling two things and I'm starting to understand that it's almost pointless for me to come in because I could do this at home, have a better, enjoyable experience doing the thing I actually want to do, not the thing that's kind of
sure,
like, you know,
sure.
put on me. You know what I mean?
Your poor, poor fiance was almost married to a successful tax guy. Now she's going to be marrying a TikToker who designed sneakers. That poor, poor woman. No, man, this is really, really exciting news, because this shows the power of how finding an audience has opened up these doors for you. Like, you are just smashing like all of these things that I always say, like, when do you know it's time to go full time? Well, when you're at a moment where you're at Anderson, where like the opportunities are so big, these marketing opportunities, that you can't say no to them. And you can find somebody to run the tax business or the accounting business. There's only one you. And you're in high demand. And like, I think that you are somebody who's the perfect face for this time, for what you're doing, teaching other people how to draw, teaching people that, you know, maybe haven't had a role model that they could identify with that could draw. Like, you're in a perfect position to take this. So, question for you. It feels like small potatoes, but I think you'll understand the comparison. I should be by July 17th, which is Disneyland's 66th anniversary, I should be at 10,000 followers over on YouTube. That's a big number for YouTube. Like, I know we're comparing 800,000 to 10,000, so people are like, that doesn't even compute, you know, as far as the number goes. But you know as well as I do that getting to 10,000 on YouTube is crucial, because that means that it'll be even easier to get to 15 and 20,000, right? Like, it's a compounding interest, social media. So I'm projecting that by July 17th, I should be at 10,000, which will mean over the pandemic, roughly over the last year, I picked up like 8,000 new people, and it's 8,000 active people that are still there with me. So it's been a really big movement. Do you have a projection on when you're going to clip a million for your TikTok? Because a million's a big fucking number to put in your resume.
So I plan to do it before the end of the summer. That's my goal. Because I had a big slowdown due to tax season, which is very frustrating. But like, now I'm getting back to the flow of things and putting out as much content, or close to an amount of content that was putting out, you know, during the pandemic.
Yeah. It is interesting that now that life is back to normal, you're like, man, during the pandemic, I had so many productive hours. Like, now that I'm going out, you know, like you just said, I went out to eat with my fiance. You used to not go out to eat with your fiance because you guys were stuck at home and you had another hour to draw. So you think that maybe by the end of the summer, if you can keep the pace of growth that you're at, that you'll be able to have a million followers on TikTok?
Yeah.
That's fucking great. That's so good, and dude.
I'm happy you said that, because now we're going to get back to my beef with you. So, I don't know if you remember, but I think when I started doing TikTok, I said, Mark, you should definitely get on TikTok.
I know what you're going to say, motherfucker. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll fight you all day long. Go ahead.
So, I said, Mark, you should go on TikTok. I'm telling you, I see the talent pool. I think you would crush on there, right?
Yep.
So, now the reason why I really said that is because I know you were doing the Disney content with YouTube.
Yep.
And you were doing it with Twitch. And because I know Disney is good for everybody, right?
Right.
That I just saw that if you literally did the same exact thing and put a camera in your face and did like the top five countdown of what's going on in Disney, did it once a day, I think your YouTube channel would be on, forget 10,000, forget 20. I think it would be on another level. Like, you wouldn't even know what to do with yourself.
You ready for my rebuttal?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. I think that you're right. I think that if I would have doubled down on TikTok, I'd be in a better space right now. But when I looked at how many hours I have in the day, it was TikTok or Adventures in Design. And I wasn't willing to give up Adventures in Design, because shooting vertical means making a whole new video. And with the way that my production skills are, I have to edit things. I create graphics for things. I create like a little script. I hit it a couple of times to get it like where it's real catchy. And I don't have any more time. By the time I'm done making a podcast and by the time I'm done making a video, there's no time for TikTok. And I tried TikTok twice on your recommendation and I didn't enjoy it as much. So gotcha. I said, I've only got room for two things. There's three things on the table. TikTok's not making the cut.
So just a rebuttal.
Push back. Challenge me, man.
And I totally get why you say that. But so here's the thing. I'm teaching my sister also, because she does marketing.
Yeah.
All the stuff that you do not need to do for TikTok. It's so bare bones that because it's so easy, I think that's what turns you off about it. That literally all you have to do is just do like, I'm saying this and grab some photos and point at it. And then that's it for like 15 seconds. It's a solid video.
But 15 seconds, Anderson, it's so hard to get five things into 15 seconds. It is so hard to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, or, you've done it.
Or you could do, or you could do 30 seconds, or you could do the top two or top three. You know what I mean? I just think, like, I know how you do your videos, and look, I'm an artist also. I understand about going above and beyond to do something really, really cool. But I think with your knowledge and you really scaling it back and really just bare bones, like, I'm gonna tell you the coolest things happening this week in Disney. Boom. There's a new, what do you call it, campus. Boom. They have these new treats. That's it. You're done. But by the way, follow me for more advice. That's it.
You fucker. Can I push back this though with you?
Yeah, sure.
I still think that you're right. I still think that all the advice that you're giving me is right. But there's one problem. I don't enjoy the platform. And I'll push back you on this way. Mm-hmm. When Disney was getting everybody pumped back up that they were reopening the park, they shot a YouTube video about King Arthur's Carousel. And mm-hmm. the video ran 2.5 minutes. And it was like, you know, we've repainted the roof, we've done this. They went and asked one of the artists, like, we went through each horse, we hand sculpted it, and we painted it. And it was like a little piece of artwork that got me so excited to see the carousel, which is the oldest attraction in the park. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really well done. And then they made one for the younger generation over on TikTok. And it was garbage content. King Arthur's Carousel. The horses go this way. And it was just like, it was just, they'd edited out all the room in between the words, then edit out all the breath. It was just regurgitating content with no emotion behind it. And I just don't want to be like, hey guys, here's everything in Disneyland today. Avengers Campus opened up. You can see the flying Spider-Man. They added it in the schedule. Doctor Strange is also added it in the schedule. Don't forget that Lamplight Lounge will now be accepting reservations on the second deck. Come back next week for more news. I don't like that. I think it's fucking shit.
Right. So there are people that do long form that don't rush through it, that they can really go through because they're going to be pushing out 3 minutes, right? Yeah. And you can't do a minute long. But I lost my train of thought. I was going with this. But
see, you can't even stand it. We've been going 21 minutes and you're exhausted because you're now at the TikTok.
That's what I wanted to say. So I feel like I get so much advice from, you know, listen to your podcast. That I thought as the young person with his ear to the streets, I thought it was only right that I pay it forward and say, hey, man.
I appreciate it.
I've heard what's happening behind the scenes. This is a good bet. But that's pretty much it.
I appreciate it. And I have reconsidered it. I was watching TikTok Disney content the other week. And once again, what got me into doing it over on YouTube, as I said, I see a space for me because I think I could do it better than most of the people. And I also, when I say do it better, not do what my peers, because now a lot of these people I know and I don't want to be a fucking jerk. I don't think I can do what they're doing better because they're all good at what they do. But I think I could find a better way to do Disney for my talents as the storyteller, as the entertainer. And like, I just released these two vlogs that people are really, really excited about, Anderson, because what I'm doing is this. The traditional format for a vlog at Disneyland is you just film your whole day. Hey, we're going to go over here. We're going to ride this. We just rode this. Now we're going to eat this. And I said, what if I edit out all the bullshit and just show you the fun? Like, it's just fun. Like, every clip is on to the next thing and it's just fun. And like, because I'm kind of a connected guy there, like, my days at Disney are kind of different than most people's, you know? And so it's just a highlight reel of a day and nobody's doing anything like that. And so that's the type of stuff I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to get into the scene and do something different. So I was looking at TikTok and I started to be like, I don't know, man. I kind of see how I could do this different. But I'm telling you, man, I am maxed out on time. I'm just so maxed out. And you're making it sound like I could do it inside of 1 hour per day. And I don't think that that's possible.
I think you could. And I totally get it with being maxed out because for me, and to anybody listening, if you're trying to figure out like what platform I should go on to, is if YouTube, like my philosophy is if YouTube is too much of a time commitment, you don't have the help. I think TikTok is great because like YouTube Lite, It teaches you how to edit. You get some good ideas. You can kind of be, you know, artistic and stuff like that. And you get to get your ideas out and people will actually see it. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I am a believer in finding your platform and just going really hard at that. I just know that it's also on fire right now.
So I get that. I get that. And it kind of feels like there's just like this great deal, right? And if you buy in, you're going to own this stock, or you're going to own this oceanfront property. Like, you know how I was talking the other day on the podcast, like, you know, our grandparents are the generation that got to buy all the vacation homes at a deal. And now vacation homes are either for the ultra rich or it's ancestral and somebody passes it down to you. Like, well, you know, my dad's dad bought this for like $20,000, you know, in 55. And like now it's a $4 million property and the dude's barely lucky that he can pay the property taxes on this gift, you know? Mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying. I understand there's a movement there. Do you think I've missed the boat?
No.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's play a little game.
Sure.
You coach me. We get together once a week. Mm-hmm. And you coach me through my TikTok schedule for the week. And we'll see where I end up.
Okay.
You take this challenge on?
I would love to take this challenge on.
Because I think that it could be possible. I just think that I'm overthinking the creative process. And I think that I need you to be my mentor on how to take my talents and my knowledge and to put it into this template. But here's the thing. It can't be longer than an hour or 90 minutes because that's all I've got, man. I am so maxed out. And it's like, I do not want to give up YouTube and I do not want to give up Adventures in Design. I'm trying very, very hard to make these two flow together. And I will give up anything that I had planned for Instagram and push all those chips over into the TikTok pile if you think that it's the better play.
So I do, and it can get done in an hour. And my question for you is, how often do you put up like YouTube videos for Disney?
Monday through Friday.
Oh, you put up a new video Monday through Friday?
I'm putting out a podcast Monday through Friday. I'm putting out a video Monday through Friday.
Yo, you are the man.
You should see the look on his face. I just took his breath away.
Now I understand why you don't have a lot of time. So, and during the videos, do you kind of like, is it just like a vlog style showing you what's going on? You're kind of updating people what's going on in the park?
So just like Adventures in Design, my videos, there's different versions of my videos. So like, you know, we have, you know, like you and I right now are doing, it's like, is this an interview or is this a shop talk? Because everybody knows you that's been ride or die with AID for a while. So this is kind of more of a shop talk episode where we're just kind of getting into the minutia on things. So with my YouTube, and you'll appreciate this as somebody who took a stab at YouTube, I do one live stream a week from my home studio, which a live stream means zero editing afterwards, but I have to come up with a script. I have to come up with some slides ahead of time. So I do one live stream from my office, and I do one live stream when I'm in the park. So that means I actually only have to shoot and edit three videos. Does that make sense?
Got you. Okay.
So one of those is going to probably be a vlog, which is I just pull out. I have a camera. Let me show you this. You're going to love this fucking technique. Where did the camera go? So this camera right here is a GoPro Max. All you have to do is hold it up and it's going to catch your face, right? All I have to do is hold this camera anywhere in front of my head and I know that I'm in the shot because it's so wide. So whenever something really, really fun is happening, I just pull out this and film. When I want to film something that's newsworthy, I pull out my phone and film. So when I get home, the reel on the camera is the vlog. The reel on the phone is the news videos. And then I also do whatever the big topic of the week is. I will do one news video on my YouTube channel. And I used to try Anderson to be the first one to break the news. And I realize it's almost impossible to be the first guy to break the news. So what I try to do is I try to give you the best opinion on the news. Like, not a fan breakdown, but an intellectual breakdown on like, this is how Disney runs their business. So if you're hoping that your annual pass is going to come back, this is the logical business approach. And I make some fans angry because I won't just tell them what they want to hear, but I'm making the right people happy. Like sort of the people that are, I don't want to say at a upper tier, but just people that are kind of love the park from like I can enjoy the magic, but also the business of it. Like if you're just somebody who loves the magic, I might not be the right creator for you. But if you're somebody who loves how the park is built, constructed, and how they make money, then I'm a good creator because I can have fun on Splash Mountain, but I can also tell you why it should be torn down and the new ride should be coming. So I'm in a very interesting space. But anyways, I know that's a long answer, but I just knew that as somebody who took a stab at YouTube, I knew that you would love that I broke the schedule and the process down to hit 5 days a week.
So it's funny because I do the same thing with TikTok, right?
Oh,
so
what I'll do is
so what they have to do is like a Q&A. So somebody asked me to draw like Dragon Ball Z, right?
Yeah.
So I'll say, all right, I'm going to draw Goku, whatever, right? So one video, I'm going to accept the person's art challenge, draw Goku. I'm going to take that same video, edit it, and show the person how to draw Goku, right? And then I can even take a third one and I'll draw part of it and I'll say, can you guess who I'm drawing? So what I'll do is I get three videos out of that one video.
Yes.
You
know what I mean? I love this.
So what I'll do on top of that is because I'll do it on like Final Cut and I'll save them. So if I ever need to go back and maybe do a different spin on it,
you got it.
I could do that. So it saves me time. You know what I mean?
So you're not editing on your phone?
Sometimes it depends. In your case, I would have you do it on your phone because it'd just be like, you know, FaceTime, one shot, you're in and you're out. And I think what would really work, because you know, I've been listening to your show for a minute, is you just sharing the secrets of Disney. Like these are three things nobody knows about the Disney park in LA, you know?
Okay.
Or talking about some of the secrets or saying, you know what I mean? Like stuff that people want to share that like Disney. I think that is the stuff that would definitely work. And I feel like the stuff that you just know, we just haven't taken the time to put together because you're busy. And I totally get that.
So you would say secrets. And what do I do about the news feed? Because the best thing about the problem with secrets are, or pro tips, there's only so many of them. But the good thing about the news feed is there's an unlimited amount of new news. You know what I'm saying? So where would you go?
When you say news feed, you mean like new things that are going on in Disney?
Yeah, because if I go through the secrets, I mean, I know a lot of like wild stuff about the park. You know, they're not necessarily secrets, but tips and tricks. But after a while, I would hit where like I think I've kind of exhausted this. But if I also lean into current events, the one thing that Disneyland does really good is they always have things happening on the horizon. So like the big thing that's happening is Friday, July 2nd, the Matterhorn will be back. Friday the 16th, the Jungle Cruise will be back with the racism removed. July 17th is the 66th. Dude, they're going through the park and removing all the ism. They're going through all the attractions and getting out all that old shit. But what is your advice on that? Can you be the secrets guy and the news guy, or would you just be the secrets guy?
Absolutely. And what I'll do is there's one guy that does movies that I know that I think is like the perfect template to see you. So you could see somebody do it that's not like rambling quickly, that actually has an idea, gets it out, doesn't do it in 15 seconds, but has a high retention in his videos.
Okay.
So news wise, what's another thing you talked about? What's going on with the whole, we call it campus? What's new?
Avengers campus.
Right.
Maybe you've heard of Marvel. It's only the biggest moneymaker in cinema. Maybe you've heard of that over the last decade.
So even telling people like it's open and these are the things to check out first, or this is my favorite spot there. Just trying to, I personally think doing countdowns is the best thing to do. So people wait to the end, or like you said, just telling them what's going on.
You make a great point. Cause look, Saturday. So they got a new Spider-Man show, right?
Right.
They did something awesome, Anderson. It used to be when you went to a theme park and you wanted to see a show, you had to go into a theater and wait for the show to happen. And it was like, you know, 15 minutes long and it had all this dumb shit in it so that it could make it worthy of your time. Well, imagine the show building that's long and wide. Imagine that being tall and vertical. So on the outside of the new Spider-Man attraction, there's essentially like a show that runs down the entire length of the building. And Spider-Man pops up in four different spots. And the big part of it is they have an animatronic Spider-Man that they sling 85 feet up in the air. If you count the ground, like they sling him 85 from the catapult. But if you count the ground, Spider-Man goes like 100 feet in the air. And the way that they do this is the human actor goes behind a building. They slingshot Spider-Man and play audio of him being like, whoa. And then the actor comes out where he landed. So it looks like he actually did the shot. But what I noticed when I went there Saturday to film it for my vlog, nobody knows where to stand. So I could do a video where I'm like, if you want to see Spider-Man, he starts out on top of this building. He starts out on top of this building. Over here is where the jump happens. He lands here. And if you actually wait till the end and walk along the edge, you'll be in the front for when it's time for him to do the meet and greet, to cruise over to be one of the first people to get a photo with him. Like, is that something that works?
I think that will work. And I also think breaking down how Disney pulls off the Spider-Man trick is something somebody will watch to the very end. So the key about TikTok and what makes videos go viral are people watching the video from second one to second 20 or to second 30. Mm. They watch the majority of the video, that it will go viral every time. It'll so that's why on TikTok, people ridiculously buy time so you can watch the video pretty much till it's all done. So you don't ever tell you the answer until at the very, very, very end of the video. So I think those two things by itself would be perfect ideas for videos because, you know, I'm into Disney, and if I saw a person fly through the sky, I would love to know how they pull that off. Or when I go, what's the best spot I could actually see this crazy effect happen?
Okay, break this down to me. Mm-hmm. There's 15-second and 30-second videos.
Up, and it goes up to a minute now.
Can any user get to a minute, or do you have to get a certain amount of prestige before you can go to 60 seconds?
Any user can get to a minute.
Okay. So I could just out of the gate start making 60-second videos.
Right.
But do you recommend?
I recommend starting out between like 15 seconds to 25 seconds.
And it doesn't matter. In between 1 second and 60 seconds, you can upload a video of any increment in between those two. Like, it could be 22 seconds, right? And you don't get penalized for not hitting the time period.
Pick the option past 15. But like I said, what makes videos do well is how long the person watches it, or if they watch the entire thing.
So the shorter and the more concise means people will watch it more through, which means they recommend it more.
Well, if it's 30 or 40 seconds, it's harder to keep somebody's attention on that app for that long.
Exactly.
So that's pretty much what it is.
So that's why if you could make a really great 20-second video that 90% mm-hmm. of the people are making it through the whole 20 seconds. They're like, okay, this one's fire. We're moving it on to the next.
Exactly.
Okay.
It'll take off every time.
Yep. What a coincidence.
So yeah, something to think about. But I think, like I said,
if you'll coach me, I'll put the time in. You coach me?
Yeah.
I'll put the time in and we'll record a podcast and see how little Bricky did.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll be like Jay-Z when Jay-Z like writes rhymes for people. Like, I'll send you like the track. You would know you did music.
The
ghost track or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And then I follow the ghost track.
Exactly. So yeah. So it'll make it super easy.
Can you please in the notes put "turn me up"? Okay. You know those guys always do that in the studio, like
word in the headphones.
Yeah, you always hear like these songs. Like, you hear the beat and you hear the guy go turn that up. And then they start going once they got that proper volume. So just in the notes, just always write, turn me up, Brick Man. And then I'll start reading past that moment because I know that you're in the flow. Okay.
That's too funny.
So pass over to this moment. How has being an educator worked on the platform? Because I'm looking at your account right now and I'm seeing lots and lots of teaching people how to do stuff. It seems insane that you could teach people quality skill sets in under 60 seconds.
Yeah, it's definitely a watered down version. What I try to do is keep it with like simple characters.
Yeah.
You know,
like your last video was Homer Simpson.
Right. You know, two eyeballs and a nose. So this is why I tell people that, like, if you really, really want to go down the content route, like, YouTube is probably the best. It's just the hardest to grow on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like TikTok's like the perfect appetizer. Like for me right now, what I'm trying to do is segue more sneaker content in there
mm-hmm.
and show more of my sneaker artwork, because I only show it when it's available or whenever I'm on live. But right now, just because I know doing artwork and just showing people how to do it just does so well, I'm just trying to keep that consistent.
Got it. Because I'm looking at your content right now, and I do see that the drawing videos, I don't know, it's weird. Like, some of your drawing videos are at 400,000, and some of them are chilling at, like, you know, 15 to 25,000. It's kind of all over the place. I guess it has a lot to do with who the character is, but also when you upload it, what happens for the next 36 hours. One of the things that I love about YouTube is that I have videos that I have a video that somebody's watching right now that I produced 2 years ago. You know what doesn't happen on podcasts? People don't go back and listen to a two-year-old podcast through the free platforms. Circle of Trust people do, but like free people don't. Like, a podcast has a very short life, and then people are on to the next thing. Do people discover old TikToks, or do TikToks basically go stale like Instagram posts do?
But they have a thing called like delayed explosion, right? So, and this is why I'm happy you brought this up. You should never delete your videos, right? For some weird reason, I have a thing of like, if you delete your videos, it will negatively impact your account. So what they say is, even God forbid, if it gets terrible view count, leave it. Because what might happen is they might give it a second shot a month down the line, and all of a sudden it catches the eye of the right people and it takes off. And that's happened a lot before. I've had a video that had like 5,000. And then for whatever reason, say the NBA Finals came up and they reshowed it, and then it got like a million views, you know? So
wow, it went from it went from stuck at five to clipping a million impressions.
That's
insane.
It's a weird app. It's totally different than anything that I've ever used, but it just has like its own rules to how like they do things. But one of the most important things is to never delete your stuff. If you want to get rid of it, like, you private it so nobody could see it, but you just don't delete it off the account. I don't know if it's a spam thing. I don't know how the whole algorithm works, but I just know it's a bad thing, so I just stay away from it.
So for someone like you who's been doing some teaching over there, is there any way for you to have TikTok be a lead magnet or like a sales funnel to send you over to more long format teaching? Like, are you going to do your own version of training camp or something like that, where people could sign up and do classes with you? Are you going to film classes and let people buy them? You know, are you going to do like pay only live streams where people can show up and hang out with you and you're going to draw for an hour? Like, how can you take people and push them someplace? Or is that all just silly because you're laughing now?
No, I'm laughing because literally what happened was, I went super hard during the pandemic and I looked up and I'm like, wow, I should really figure out what direction I want to take this in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me right now, it's just, like I said, trying to add new content on there to try to get new people and more people in there. I'm not really trying to be an art teacher, you know what I mean? But I do want to get back to like my YouTube channel and maybe start doing more of the graphic design stuff. The only reason why I stayed away from the graphic design stuff is because I feel like it's a lot of friction, right? Like, anybody has a piece of paper and a pen, but not everybody has Adobe Illustrator or Photoshop, or they have Procreate, anything like that. So that's why I try to keep it super simple.
I think, though, that you're in a good spot, though, because you don't look as old as you are. And I think that you have a friendly face and a familiar face. And I think most importantly, there's a lot of young guys right now that want to do the type of stuff you're doing, and you can be a role model for them, because there's not a lot of people of color that are in this position that you're in. Right. And so there's like a constantly going to be a flow of 15-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids, 21-year-old kids that really, really love art class. They want to do something with it professionally. They don't know where to go. They're looking through TikTok because that's where they're at. And you look like them. And I have learned through this journey, it is so important to find somebody that looks like you to guide you to where you want to go, because then it makes it seem possible for you. And I didn't realize that, because I thought anybody was capable of doing anything. And I've learned one big lesson since 2012 in interviewing people. People need to see somebody like them. If you're trans, you need to see somebody trans do it. If you're Asian, you need to see an Asian do it. You know what I mean? Like, people need to see them in their hero. And I just didn't realize that, because a lot of heroes look like me. And I think you're in a position, even though I'm far from a hero, but I think that you're in a position where I think you might be underestimating your value as a teacher.
You know what? I'll be honest with you, I haven't thought of it that way, but I get why you say that. Because I was definitely one of those people that when I was starting out, you know, I would go to the the design shows and I'd be like, huh, I'm the only black guy here.
All Which right. I think is That's a it. Fucking insane advantage, man.
And over time, I've definitely learned that. At first, it's kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? But
did
after,
I just show up at a Klan meeting?
You realize where am I at
here?
What'd you say?
I said, did I just show up at a Klan meeting? Like, what's going on here?
Literally, one show, somebody's just like, oh man, we got a football player here. You want to help us pick some stuff up? I'm like, I'm here for the art show.
Hey, basketball guy, could you hang this banner on my booth for me? No, but
I know.
I think, though, with everything that has happened since the last time that we talked, speaking of that, mm-hmm. I think that you are in a fucking excellent position here, you know, because people are looking for change and people are looking for somebody to show them how to do this stuff. And because you existed before the snap, you already have the career. You already have the store. You've already made the t-shirts. You've run the pop-up shop. You've designed sneakers for these big brands. Like, I think if you're giving me momentum telling me to go to TikTok, I'm telling you to be the face of change.
So are you saying that maybe I should take a step back and think of what I could do with this, I want to say art teacher, but almost like, you know, doing tutorials and stuff like that, or showing the process on how to do things in an art career or draw things, or.
Yes. So this is what I think, where I would go from here if I were you. Mm-hmm. If people are enjoying your art videos, there should be some way where they can see that in a longer format. So you use the quick teaser of TikTok to create a community. So you probably have, like, you know, at 800,000 people following you, you probably have easily a couple hundred dudes that, like, look up to you, and girls that, like, look up to you. They love what you're doing and they see you as an ability. Like, if I can learn from this guy, art class is my favorite class. Maybe I could turn art class into a job. So the thing that I don't think that you're fully aware of is that people want FaceTime with their influencers, right? Like, because you're motivating them and inspiring them. And what they want a lot is to not only learn from you, but to hang out with you. So if you said, I'm doing a live stream over my YouTube channel where you've seen me draw quickly inside of TikTok and, you know, short burst, hang out with me Thursday at 7 o'clock for a live draw. And then over in the chat, they can be like, how long have you been drawing? What's your favorite thing to draw? How did you do this? How did you get up with you know, Foot Locker? How did you do G.I. Joe? And if you're sitting there drawing, you're just like, so the crazy thing about G.I. Joe is I loved it as a kid, blah, blah, blah. And you start telling them stories. You're going to further that connective tissue between you and your audience. And then that can go to where, my friend, you have paid classes, a subscription service. People could hire you to do a 10-week program to learn how to be, you know, Urban Illustrator 10-week crash course. This is how you learn how to, like, get into doing sneaker illustrations, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that is the biggest thing that you've got sitting on the table.
So my question for you is,
this has become a fucking great episode, by the way. This has become a great episode.
I'm happy to hear that. So my question for you is,
yeah.
So do I go back to my YouTube, brush off the dust, maybe take one day a week to do like a tutorial video, like a longer format tutorial video, and then do live stream there? Or do I just focus on doing the live streams with like something like Twitch? And I feel like I'm about to sound like almost the pot calling the kettle black, because just like how you were saying, you're super busy. I'm super busy also. So I'm trying to figure out which one would make the most sense to pick up. You know what I mean?
I think that if you actually produce videos on YouTube, it's going to take a lot of time that you don't have.
Yep.
So you have 800,000 potential leads. It doesn't seem insane to get 80 people to show up to a live stream, right?
Okay.
And at 80 people, the chat's buzzing and you got a lot of people to talk to. Even at 50 people, the chat's buzzing. You got a lot to talk to. I was live earlier today and I had 150 and it was cruising, right? When I'm in the park, sometimes I've gotten up to 800 people at once. And that's a fast conversation to keep your eyes on. So I think that I would make a lead magnet and lead magnet, not a maggot. I'd make a lead magnet
right
in TikTok that says, hey, if you've been enjoying, you know, even at one of these, if you've been enjoying these videos, join me Thursday, join me July 17th for a live draw. Hang out. Let's hang out and draw together. And then I think what I would suggest you to do on YouTube is only live streams, because you know what? You don't have to do any editing. You can just hang out. You can draw with these people. It'll take 1 hour of your live time. You will get such a rush from being live and talking to people and interacting with them that the hour will cruise by.
And how often do you go live? Like a week? How often do you go live?
I think that if you wanted to build this and turn it into something that makes money, if you could set it up to where you did it once a week, where people just knew that like Thursdays at 7, you go live and they can draw with you. Because here's the thing. Once they get to know you, they won't always be able to make it at Thursday at 7, but they'll watch the replay and they'll leave the comment and be like, man, I'm so bummed that I didn't get to hang out with you on the live last week, but I'll be there this week. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you do it in a routine, people will come to understand it. But also, let's break the rules a little bit. You have a mass, you're going to be at 1 million followers on TikTok. You could also just do them when you feel like putting one in the calendar, and maybe keep a scarcity mindset where people will feel like they don't want to miss it because they don't know when the next one is. Because the problem with doing something weekly is people are like, I'll catch them next week. So it could go either way. Hey friends, I hope you're enjoying today's conversation with Anderson Blue. To hear part two and his other appearances on Adventures in Design, make sure you head over to AID.network, become a member of the Circle of Trust. That's how we keep the podcast going, 200 episodes a year. That's how we built that big old archive of episodes, conversations just like the one you're hearing today. Part two starts right now at AID.network for members of the Circle of Trust. Thank you so much for being a member of the Circle of Trust. Let's start part two right now.
You know what? Happy pointed that out, because TikTok has like a live feature, and during the pandemic, I used it, you know, as much as possible, you know, whenever I felt like being talkative and being animated and, you know, being in front. And what you're pointing out is I didn't realize that it definitely helped for me to get to that number. You know what I mean? Because yep. I was getting messages and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm getting this message from this person in Ireland about their kid. That's fun. You know, or I'm getting this message from a person from this other place, but I don't think I made the connection that was part of it. I just thought it's just the videos. But now looking back that you said that, I was just like, oh, all those times being on live really did make a difference.
Live is huge. Live is huge, man, because people feel connected, like they're there with you. And, you know, here's the crazy thing. You feel like they're there with you. So if I'm walking through Disneyland by myself, I'm in a headspace of like a creative, and it, you know, I'm not like sad trombone. I'm there by myself, but I'll go sit on a bench and chill out for 30 minutes. Cause I know I'm going live at 5 o'clock or noon, whatever time I tell people I go live. So I sit on a bench and I just kind of chill out to like reserve my power. But then when I go live, Anderson, I never walk through the park and wonder, is anybody looking at me like I'm a weirdo? Like, does it look weird what I'm doing right now? Because in my mind that like, 350 people is like an energy that is standing right next to me. And I literally feel like I'm walking through the park with a friend and we're doing all of this shit together. So for example, I told him like, if you can get this video to 400 likes, I will do Avengers Campus, the musical for the end of the stream. I will sing everything instead of talking. And somehow they got it to 400 likes. And so the last half or the last 20 minutes, I had to sing everything I was doing. So people recognize me now in the park. And people would come up and be like, Bricky, what's up? I love your channel. I'm like, I'm so glad that you love the channel. It's nice to meet you today. And I had to like Thor walk by. I'm like, Thor, you've got to save the galaxy. And he's just like, I don't know what this guy's doing. Awesome. But he just gave me a yeah back, you know. And people like freaked out because Thor talked to me. But the point that I'm getting through is that live is the best way to feel like you're with your audience, and in reverse, the best way for your audience to feel like they're with you. So in my mind, it would be TikTok pushes people over to the live, and then the live pushes people over to something where you can monetize all of this, whether it be a Skillshare course that either you do through Skillshare or do your own thing where people could buy something. Or if you did like a 10-week training camp type thing, like what I did, where, you know, you try to shoot for, could you get out of 800,000 people, can you get 10 people to give you $1,000 for 10 weeks and you make 10 grand from it? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways to run the numbers. It just depends on what you want to do. But I definitely think that this is a really like strong thing that you have in your back pocket that most people don't.
No, thank you for bringing it up. Because like I said, I've been doing it for so long. I'm kind of oblivious to it.
Yeah.
I'm just more, you see the like, blind spots. I need to create more content, content. You know what I mean? And then like the only thing that was my concern, especially with TikTok, is just that like the stuff that I do, you know, the sneaker designs that I do it for like sneakerheads, people who are into fashion and stuff like that. So my only concern is like, yeah, I'm doing this. I hope it doesn't come off corny. You know what I mean?
I know.
I would hate to lose value. Like, you know,
I know.
Let's be for real. Like the cool factor, because I'm doing the tutorials and stuff like that. At this point, I think it doesn't matter because I look at other people like what you do, you know? You do AID, and I know you do Disney. I don't look at you any differently. It's not a big deal to me, you know? So I'm just trying to keep that mentality back in my head. For some reason, when it's me, I'm just like, oh, no, I can never work for me. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
I'm trying to stop myself from doing that.
So imagine this. You put together an actual vlog where it shows you going to Designer Con and going to these different areas, you know, and you're signing sneaker boxes and you're signing people's sketchbooks and you're drawing and all this stuff. But imagine when that video ends of you going into a high school or a youth center and there's just all these kids that look like you that are fucking just so stoked that you're there showing them how to draw that day. That feeling will make the biggest sneakerhead be like, this dude's fucking legit. Like he's out there showing other kids how to work the game. And he's showing other kids how to elevate themselves and how to be a part of this. Not just a sneaker buyer, a sneaker collector, but a sneaker collector. So I think what I always do is I try to figure out like, how could somebody criticize me? And how do I crush that criticism with content? That's like, I told you all the time on Adventures in Design that I'm a dreamer and I will always find a way to make a dollar where it seems impossible to everybody else. Motherfucker, I get paid to go to Disneyland.
Is true.
Suck on these ears.
That is true. No. Like I said, thank you for pointing it out. I think it makes sense. I think part of it was, you know, like I said, continually put out content. I got swept away with doing taxes for the tax bits because, you know, that is my job.
Yeah.
So like, you know, sometimes when you look away from something, you look back, you kind of forget, you know, the formula
100%
that you had that got you there.
100%. And so, these platforms, too, they motivate guys like you and I to upload. And when you get caught in the cycle of upload, you forget to plan for your future.
Right. And that's definitely where I am right now to where. And that's why I was saying early in the episode, just to go back, I see that I have to take a step back because I see the potential here.
Yep.
And I see where it can go. And taxes didn't go anywhere. One thing I know is guaranteed is death and taxes. That's what
for
they say,
sure.
Right?
For sure.
So I might as well do it. I'm better off doing it now than waiting later.
You know I agree. Mean? And like I said earlier too, to find somebody to run your family's business, that doesn't sound impossible. Finding the right person won't be easy. Mm-hmm. And nothing's hands free. You know, you'll still have headaches and you'll have to negotiate bullshit. That's just called making money. But the moment you're in, dude, is so rare that you cannot let this moment pass. And what I'm telling you, and forgive me for being rough around the edges, but that's who I am. Yeah. Not only this moment that you found through like social media and technology, but how that moment aligns with where we're at as a society. Dude, you have caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. No, like I said, thank you for pointing it out. Because I was actually telling my fiance, I feel like a crazy person because I have nobody else to bounce these ideas off of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like I could bounce it off of. She's like, oh no, just do it. And not, unless you're in it,
you it's don't tough see it. Yeah.
To really understand, you know, how to maneuver, take advantage, or just to walk a path that you don't know what's gonna happen. Nobody's done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It definitely could be nerve wracking. So thank you. I'm very happy you had this conversation. I feel like I'm ready to get back into my TikTok grind, you know?
I mean, I hope you do because you're in an interesting spot, you know, where it's like you've built something that a lot of people don't have, and it's kind of, you're in uncharted territory, right? Like, so I have this thing, what is it worth? And you're doing what a lot of people do, is you're just answering emails, right? Opportunities are coming to you and you're just answering.